Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I think when many people think of saints, they think of those works of the saints, and I fear that many hear the word saint and they think they must live a life of perfection, which isn't true at all. Certainly the saints with us today and those who have completed their earthly pilgrimage would embody the way of Jesus. That's why we look to them as an example. And what is the way of Jesus? We hear it in Luke's gospel. He lays it out for us. Love your enemies. Don't seek retribution. Choose peace, not violence. Care for those in need. The list is clear. But how easy it is to follow. It's very hard. And when we reflect on the lives of those who have gone before us, which is typical for us to be grieving on occasions like the Feast of All Saints, I think there's a hope that we might be inspired by their imitations of Christ when they were with us on earth. Alan Bevere reminds us that the saints are holy because they are worldly. That is, they engage themselves in the realm God in Jesus Christ has come to redeem. So as saints of God, we don't separate ourselves from the world. We go into the world. We engage the world with the love of Jesus. And Bevere tells a story of a pastor who decided to get out from the walls of the church and reach out to those who weren't coming to a church building. So at a local bar, which could be described as a dive, this pastor began having lunch once a week. He would be wearing his clerical collar, having lunch, and working on his sermon. Bevere writes that the first time he went in, the place fell silent. No one knew what to make of him. But there he sat eating lunch and working away. The first few times he entered, it was very silent. No one really spoke to him. The discomfort was obvious. But over time, as he became a regular, the other regulars loosened up and began having conversations with the man they nicknamed Padre. As time went on, regulars started to confide in him. One day, as he sat there, one of the bartenders approached him and asked if she could talk to him. "Padre, I just don't know what to do about my daughter. I need some advice." A couple weeks later, a regular started talking to him about his marriage and the difficulties he and his wife were having. Before too long, that pastor developed a wonderful ministry just sitting and eating and working in a place where some respectable Christians would never think of entering. Now, eventually, the leadership of his church found out what he was doing, and they called a meeting. And the pastor was told that he was bringing disgrace to himself and the church, and if he didn't stop going there, he's going to have to find a new church to pastor. And Bevere reminds us that the saintly life is not equivalent to the respectable life. When we take seriously the way of Jesus, we are going to find ourselves in places and with persons that the world does not find respectable. Bevere argues that saints are dangerous. They challenge any notion of discipleship as something that is easy and part-time. He says that any notion of following Jesus is just one more, that it's just one more thing to be done in the midst of everything in our daily routines, like soccer games, music lessons, and a golf game. That is not what it means to follow Jesus. It's not one event or one activity among many things. It is what grounds and centers us as we engage in all those activities that we participate in this world. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with golfing or music lessons or soccer games. That's part of an enjoyment that we can enter into in life. But your life as a disciple, your life as a saint of God, that centers you and influences how you approach all those activities that we're invited to participate in this world. The life of a disciple, the life of a saint, it's a new way of being a human being in our world. And that new way of being a human being is seeing the world differently, seeing the world through God's eyes. And that begins when we see people. What's powerful in our gospel lesson today, in these blessings and woes, is that Jesus is humanizing those in need. He's not giving a teaching that talking about people who are poor or who are hungry. He's talking to disciples right in front of him, saying, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." Jesus is talking to those who are gathered, who are there. He sees them, and he's telling them, "I see you." And he's telling us to see those in our midst, to humanize those who are poor, who are hungry, and who are weeping in our midst. The saints of the past, present, and future bear witness to the kingdom of God that is to come. The saints of the past, present, and future invest in people and see the dignity of every person. The saints of the past, present, and future reflect the image of Christ to others, but also see the image of Christ in other people. The saints of the past, present, and future understand and embrace that the kingdom of God is one in which our world will experience a great reversal and things are leveled out as God's justice will ultimately prevail. You know, this scene in Luke's gospel mirrors what we get in Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, right? But in Luke's gospel, he's on a plane, not an airplane. You know, a plane, right? It's an image of that leveling out of the world that will all be brought down together on common ground in the kingdom that is and that is to come. As saints and sinners, we can relate to the blessings and the woes. It's not an either or. We find ourselves on either side at times in our lives. It's a both and. And in fact, it's because of the woes that we ultimately experience the blessings. It is Christ who sees us. It is Christ who loves us and claims us. It is in Christ in whom we are joined to in holy baptism. We die with Christ and we rise with Christ. So we look at the lives of the saints and sometimes we think, I got to chase this saintly life. No. We are raised into sainthood through the power of God. It's not something that we do on our own. It is by the grace of God, hearts filled with the gift of faith that enables us and empowers us to embody the way of Jesus. And as saints of God, we are not sustained by silver bullets in trying to solve the problems in the church and society. God does not give us a program to fix it all. I've looked. I can't find one. There's no program out there. And God doesn't give us all the answers. But God gives the saints a table. And it's at this table that we are gathered with the saints of every time and every place, saints of the past, present, and future. And it's at that table that we experience God's grace. It is at that table that we're reminded that God sees us. God sees you. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. It is at that table that those who are experiencing either blessings or woes are all gathered. The leveling out is happening right now, folks. It happens when we gather here. Because the leveling out of God's kingdom, Christ drawing all people to himself, where the rich and poor, the full and hungry, the happy and sad, all gather together to receive the living God coming to us and inviting us to be part of his kingdom. It's not one more thing for us to do. It's what grounds us in all the things that we do in this world. That we would invite to the table those in the world who are seen as respectable, but also invite those to the world and bear witness to those who the world says is not respectable, to say there's a place for you at this table as well. Our ministry bears witness to the leveling out that the kingdom of God brings to this world. That is our ministry as saints of God. And it is that love that fills us and sustains us, that enables us to embody God's kingdom and point to how it will be on earth as it is in heaven. And we give people and offer people a foretaste of the feast to come, because we've been given a foretaste of that feast that is to come. Thanks be to God. Amen.